We live in a world that is characterized by change. You stop and think about it. Things are not always the way they used to be. And so Galatians chapter 6 and especially verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good. And I want to suggest to you that this lesson today is a lesson that will cause us to understand there are opportunities that we have that other individuals have not had in years past. And that the very fact that the world is changing creates opportunities for us to do more and better things for God. It also creates a world where there's more opportunity to do evil. And I think when we get to the end of this lesson, I think we'll come to a realization of the fact that our world has changed. And it really, really is changing. You know, it was not that long ago in our minds or in the memory of some of us that John F. Kennedy said, we're going to put a man on the moon in this decade. Now, young people, I know you don't remember that. It may be, junior high kids, that your parents don't remember of it. Can you believe that that was 46 years ago? That's an amazing statement, an amazing concept. It was 40 years ago that a man walked on the moon. And so if you're 35 or under, you don't have any knowledge of man ever walking on the moon. You may have seen it on the television. You may have seen something about it. You don't have any knowledge of it. And yet that which was brought about by that changed our world. And I'm talking specifically about the fact that when I was a young person, you'd read those Sunday comics, there was Dick Tracy. And right there on his wrist, he had that two-way radio. You remember that? And I thought, wow, I would give anything if I had one of those. Guess what I've got right here in my pocket? That's the thing we're talking about. And that is the greater opportunities that we have creates greater responsibilities. You know, the Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men. You and I need to understand the fact that we do have greater opportunities. That technology that came about in the world, that has changed the world, that allowed men to walk on the moon. Young people, you need to understand that little thing that you've got in your purse or in your pocket has more power than the computers that carried men to the moon. I'm talking about that which was on board the Apollo when it arrived at the moon. That's how fast the world has changed. And so we need to be conscious of the fact that the world has changed. And so the question is, has it changed for the better or for the worse? You know, has this been a blessing or has it been a curse? Well, some things we just love having. It's great that there are those things that have changed. Life has been made so much better in some respects. And yet, we need to have an appreciation that whether it is good or bad, it's upsetting to older people. And those of us who are older sometimes, and we see young people and they pick up their computers or they pick up their phone, and they don't even have to read an instruction book to figure out how. Now, I want you to understand, those of us who are older, we baffled our parents also. It was a different kind of technology. But man, we would open up those Christmas toys and we'd be playing with them in a heartbeat. And Mom and Dad would be saying, hang on just a minute, let me read you, tell you how to do this. And we're halfway through the game that we were playing, that type of thing. But it is upsetting. And because of that, because this world is changed, I want to say somewhere in this lesson, I want to talk to those of you who are older. You and I need to have an appreciation of the fact that this world has changed. We need to be a part of it in so many respects. I think particularly about the matter of the internet. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later in this lesson. I think about the fact that those who are not a part of the internet world are missing out on some things that would bring great, great joy in their lives and companionship and things that would occupy their times and cause them to look out to the world, I would encourage you, and I don't have a Bible verse for this, so it's just Dan talking, but I would encourage you to become a part of that world that's out there because of the horizons that it will open to you. And I think you'll see some of that as we go ahead and develop this lesson. Now, there's something that you and I need to understand, and that is there are some illustrations of things that are neither good or bad that are sort of neutral. Now, they're biblical illustrations of it. That, for example, whenever Moses was making that bronze serpent, and there is some craftsman that is there that is making that bronze serpent, was it good or was it bad when he made it? Here somebody is, and I don't know how they shaped it and how they formed it, but there is that serpent before it was ever used. Good or bad? Well, it was neither. It was just sort of a neutral kind of thing. Now then, when Moses in Numbers chapter 21 places that serpent on that pole so that those individuals who had been bitten by those fiery serpents that God had sent in judgment against the ungodly people, all of a sudden that which is neutral became an unbelievable blessing. It's a blessing to us. Did not Jesus use that very illustration to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up? There's that story of a serpent that was there in the Old Testament that becomes even a blessing to us. You know what happened to that serpent? Do you know what happened to that serpent? When you get to 2 Kings chapter 18, it becomes Nehushtan. And somebody said, never heard that in my life. You know what they did? The Bible says that hundreds of years after Moses had died, go through the period of the judges and get all the way over into 2 Kings near the end of the time, at the time of the fall of the northern kingdom. That's how far and how distant that was. They took that bronze serpent and they started burning incense to it. Now, here's what we're talking about. It's neutral, it's good, and it's evil. What about unleavened bread and fruit of the vine? You go down to Winn-Dixie, go down to Publix, and there is the fruit of the vine that is there. There's that matzo bread, there's that unleavened bread. Is that good or bad? Oh, it's neither. It's matzo bread. I mean, it's unleavened bread. It's grape juice. That's all it is. It's neither good or bad. Now, that which is neutral can become good, can it not? You take that unleavened bread and that fruit of the vine and put it on this table. And you and I need to understand how that which is neutral becomes an unbelievable blessing, and it's such a great blessing to mankind that the Lord put it in the church every Sunday and since the church started. The church is a symbol throughout all of that times. At least those who were doing it like they did it in Bible times assembled every week to have the Lord's Supper. It's why they came together. It's why we've come together today. It's to break this bread. It's a sacred thing. It becomes a tremendous blessing to us when we partake of it in a right way. But what about that individual who takes that unleavened bread and partakes of it in the wrong way? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, they're eating and drinking damnation to themselves. You stop and think about it. Two individuals sitting right side beside each other, and both of them go through the action of breaking the bread and eating the bread and drinking of the cup. One of them is mindful of the death of Jesus and the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. The other individuals, while they're eating the bread and drinking the cup, they're thinking about NASCAR, or they're thinking about getting over to Macy's for that special sale they've got going on this weekend. And they're thinking about, about who's going to win fantasy football this weekend or something. Two individuals sitting side by side, and the Bible says one of them is eating and drinking damnation to themselves. Neutral, good, or bad? Now, with that as a background, we need to think about technology. Now, I'm not sure exactly everything that is involved in technology. I tried to make a list, and it's a long way from being exhaustive, but we talk about the neutral aspect of it, of computers and the phones and the CDs and the DVDs and the Internet, and I put a bunch of question marks after that, and that you don't know how tempted I was to put 8-tracks in here also as a part of this. And young people, you don't have a clue what that is either. Ask your grandparents about it. They can tell you what it was like in the old days. And you've got all of this technology that you have out there. Is it good or bad? It's not good or bad. It's just sitting there. Now, as we have opportunity, we need to look around us and see how we can take that which is good and use it for good. You take this matter of technology, and you and I need to have an understanding that there can be a good aspect of that technology. For example, that technology can be used to bring about great spiritual personal growth. And some of you are involved in this, and some of you understand what I'm talking about when I talk about taking that technology and helping you in Bible studies. I remember when I was, I guess I was in college. I may have been out of college before I ever saw a Strong's Concordance. And somebody said, I don't have a clue what that is. Well, it's a tool that you can use to study the Bible. And you know, you may have heard of concordances. There is the first one that I ever had. I had that while I was in high school. Was Cruden's Concordance, a little book, you know, about the size of this Bible, maybe a little bit thicker than the Bible. At least the one that I have now. In fact, I've actually got one smaller than this Bible. A Cruden's Concordance has in it every time every word in the Bible is used. I want to know what the Bible says about baptism. Just open it up and look at it like you'd look almost in a dictionary, except it is a listing of every time the word baptism is found in the Bible. Now, there's another level of the concordance, and that is Strong's Concordance. Strong's Concordance is about this wide. It's about this thick. It's about this wide, and it's about this tall. It weighs 643 pounds. That's why it has the name Strong's. You know, if you're crude, you can use Cruden's, and if you're strong, you can use Strong's. And what a blessing that is to be able to open up this book and throw in there, and I don't have to know Greek or Hebrew, and I can take that and I can find out the Hebrew word or the Greek word. What a great blessing that is. And what a blessing it was when in my college life, I finally found a Strong's and was able to use that. What a great blessing it was. Do you know it's possible to have those books right here in your hand? You know, there's a program that's on the Internet. It's free, and I tell you this because we're trying to help each other grow and to grow spiritually. But there's a Bible program that's available. It's free. It's just downloaded off the Internet. It's called eSword. E-Sword. You can download it for free at eSword.net. It's the most amazing Bible tool that I know of. You know, it's possible to download eSword and have 77 translations of the Bible, even in Danish, if you want to read the Danish Bible. Languages, every language there is imaginable. So you can carry around with you in a laptop computer or even in some, if you have an iPhone, you can carry around that with you. BlackBerry, you can carry around that phone, carry around that very, those very books with. In my eSword, I've got probably 20 translations that I have immediately available everywhere I go. I've just got it with me. And there are all of these technical books. There's the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, 6,000-page Bible encyclopedia. And you can just carry it right around with you. What a blessing that is. You don't have to have a cell phone or a higher-level cell phone to do that. Just you can put it on your home computer. and go in there and delve in there. And oh, what a shortcut it is. Instead of having to flip through thousands of pages, you just put a search word in there and it goes immediately to the topic. What a blessing computers are to spirituality. And then there is that matter of just great meditation thoughts, is the way I've put this. Just bulletin articles that have been meaningful to me, or bulletin articles that somebody has sent to me, or sermons that I've heard, or things of that nature. I can just sit down and I can study those things. And then there is the ability in my personal growth just to have in my Bible a calendar that tells me where I ought to be, when I ought to be there. In my Bible there, place, or in this technology, or place that I can keep notes. You know, we used to have our Palm Pilot, and that's what it was called originally. In fact, I remember being with a preacher one time, and he said, "Have I shown you my Palm Pilot?" And I said, "No, show it to me." And he opened up his coat, pulled out his shirt, and he had a stack of 3x5 cards, and on those he had written down everything that he thought was important to have him. And so when I told him, he said, "Let me write that down in my Palm Pilot," and he pulled out another 3x5 card and wrote all that information down. Folks, there's a great, great blessing to be found in the technology that we have. And then as we think about the work of the church, and we can spend a lot more time talking about how it can help you grow individually, I got to thinking about how in being a Christian, you know the work of the church, do you not? Why the church exists? Do you know, if I were to ask you, the three reasons, the threefold work of the church? The matter of benevolence, the matter of edification, building up each other, and the matter of evangelism. If you don't know that, file that away. Stick that in your head. You'll need that. When the Lord built the church, what kind of work did He want the church to do? Benevolence, edification, evangelism. That's B-E-E. You know, maybe that B will sting your brain and you can remember B-E-E. Benevolence, edification, evangelism. First letters of each of those. But that's the way the Lord wants the church to work. Do you understand the blessing there is in the matter of benevolence? That exists in the technology. It doesn't have to be a palm. It doesn't have to be a cell phone. It's just our phones at our house, and that is the matter of just sharing needs and giving information. You know that if there were some member that were to die, even while we're in services, and it's happened before, the phone rings out there in the lobby, and there is that notification of that person's death. We talked on Wednesday night about the seriousness of Evelyn Coleman, and she is seriously ill and likely dying. You know that whenever she passes away, or some other individual who we don't expect to die, when they pass away suddenly, are you aware of the fact that instantly, just by using the list of the email addresses that we have in the office, we let every member of this church who's in that part of the world immediately know about the passing of some individual. I think about my nephew Dale, who's preached here. He's at a congregation in Tennessee, congregation numbering 500, and they only have 4 families in the church that do not have email. You know how jealous I am of that. He told me, he said, "Uncle Dan," he said the other day, some members said, "Hey, I need some crutches. You know anybody that has crutches?" And said, "I just immediately sent out an email to every family in the church." 10 minutes later, I had to send out another email to say, "Stop sending me crutches. I've already got 6 pairs." What a blessing technology is to help us do benevolence. You stop and think about the maps that are readily available, MapQuest and things of that nature. Though the maps that are just readily available to find where somebody lives and to go over there. And write down schedules and use that calendar, right? We need to do this and we need to do that. The benevolence aspect, the benevolence aspect of the church. And I thought about the benevolence aspect of the church. I got to thinking about our plans for Andrew II. Now, that's not another child that's going to be born, but are you aware that in this church there's a plan that has 60 names attached to it, so when the next hurricane comes through, that we'll be able, if we still remember what we were supposed to do when we set up the program, we'll be able immediately to get involved in the... Do you understand how important technology is in relation to that? Of using this technology that is there for God? And then just a matter of, as we think about the matter of benevolence, and that is, we've already mentioned the matter of maps and just reminders, I need to do this, I need to do that. It's a tremendous blessing. I'm talking, and I reckon, let's look at my watch, I got to speed up a little bit. What about the matter of edification? What about the matter of just building up the church? Well, I just put in the notes here, look around you. Look around you, you'll see the evidence of it. Look on the screen behind us. Think about all of these lights and how these lights could be dimmed instantly if they needed to be dimmed. Of all the technology that is involved over there in that part of our building, where right this minute, in places perhaps around the world, there are people watching our services being broadcast live on the internet, and they're being edified. And then the recording of all of this, and the matter of having, having forever the sermons that are preached here, at least the audio portion of it, and soon the video and the audio portion of it will be here, to bless people forever and ever. The matter of you hear a sermon and somebody was not there and somebody needs that sermon, or some member of this church, or somebody in some other congregation. And it's just as matter as writing your name on a card and say, I want a copy of that sermon that I can send to so-and-so. You can email a copy of an MP3 copy of that sermon to some individual. Do you understand what a blessing we have in building each other up in the matter of edification? Let me tell you something we need to do more of, and that is we need to say to other individuals, I appreciate you. What a great blessing we have to be able just to take this technology, and you don't have to send an email or a text message or whatever. You can just pick up your phone at home and call somebody. There's one lady in this church that I call my special cheerleader. In fact, I've suggested to her that I buy her a cheerleader's uniform. Because there's hardly a Sunday that passes that Trudy does not in some way or another phone me and say, Dan, I just want to tell you, that's the greatest sermon I ever heard in my life. I'm telling you, I'm on a roll like you wouldn't believe. I've been here 27 years, and Trudy has forever told me that the sermon that I preached was the best one I've ever preached. Do you know how encouraging that kind of technology is? You understand what I'm talking about? Just to see some individual that is there and just to say to them, I appreciate you. Or what about I care for you? I'm really concerned about you. Just recently, you've heard me talk about the death of my cousin out in Texas. And so I posted that on the internet in a section called Facebook. And within 1 hour, listen, within 1 hour, 20 people sent me an instant message back that says, Dan, I'm thinking about you. My heart is hurting because you're hurting. You know how edifying that kind of thing is? Do you have an appreciation of how edifying that is? And then there is this matter, and we just have to put it here, I share my life with you. Chris Fry writes and said, hey, the baby's been born and everything's great. Just the ability just to write back and to say that. Folks, there is this technology out there. And here's what I'm saying. Listen to me. We're not using it like we ought to use it. We've got to open up our eyes and see some other ways in which we can take this technology and use it for the Lord. And then I love the way that groups in the church are using this. I love the fact that Casey has... a way to instantly message every one of the young people. And I love the way that I can know what's happening in some of the groups within the church, and the way the deacons are using this technology to make that cornerstone group work, and all of that information that is just designed to build the church up. That very announcement sheet that is there. You understand how much technology is involved in that, and the announcements that are put on the screen. Folks, we've got to lift up our eyes and see the great, great opportunities we have in building each other up in this matter. Then we mentioned the fact that it's a matter of our website, and every Sunday and every day of the week, I just stand amazed. And that several months ago, I thought, I wonder how many times the sermons that I've preached on Sunday, I wonder how many times they've been listened to. And I don't know if they were listened all the way through, but you preach a sermon and before it was gone forever. And so I just did a search to find out how many times the sermons that I've preached were listened to. 125,000 times the sermons have been preached in this very building have been listened to, at least in part, by someone. Isn't that amazing? And that's why we need to appreciate everything that is involved. What about the matter of evangelism? Well, just again, look around you and think about all that is involved in this, and some of the same things we mentioned before about evangelism or about edification. Looking around has the same application. We just need to find out a better way to use it. And I'm just challenging you to use your imagination. Young people, this is your world. Use your imagination and find out some way that we can use the internet and use this technology for greater advantage for God. We've got to have an appreciation of that. And it's your generation that will take this technology and either use it for good or for evil. And I just challenge the goodness of your heart to think about this. And perhaps those who are not in their teen years, but, you know, sort of think they are and act like they are sometimes, to use this kind of technology, the imagination that you have, to find some greater use for it. And the simple application of that, just in the matter of the DVDs. David Payne mentioned in my class this morning about how many times he put a guy in the jail cell down there and handed him one of our DVDs. Or, you know, I love that respect. Dave, I just think you ought to arrest more people. I just think that present company excluded, of course. But what a great honor. You remember, who would ever forget Harold Pack? You know, you stop and think about what an impact that man had in this church. And when he saw that, what's the name of that DVD, David? The Truth, Speak the Truth? Or what's the name of it? Search for Truth. He bought 100 of those and just distributed them. They're just $1 each, and he just gave them to every relative there was and everything. And even when he was dying, he was there, on his deathbed. He was still trying to distribute those DVDs. Isn't that a simple thing to do? And here's all of that information that's there, that's a part of this, and we just need to have an appreciation of it. And then we mention again our website, and we've done this in a very special way because I don't know if you've driven down I-95 this week, but have you seen the new banner that's out there on I-95? I would encourage you on your way home to go home in the wrong direction just so you can see that sign out there. Because, you know, 1 million individuals a day pass our building and sitting right there on our building right now is a banner that says churchon95.com in word letters that are so big, people driving by would think, wonder what that church is all about. And there is that website that they can come to, and that's a part of the use of this technology that we need to be appreciative of. And then a thing that will become a reality, hopefully within the next month or two, the monies were given on Mission Sunday. And that is to have our own studio in this building where we can produce all kinds of DVDs. Think about how marvelous it would be to have our Sunday night questions and answers on the website. And little 5-minute answers to Bible questions. And David and I have great plans, and we've talked to Casey about trying to get the teens involved in using this same facilities in their work, where David and I will just sit and ask each other Bible questions and give 5-minute answers to it. And so people come to the internet, and perhaps this church will be known as the place that if you've got a Bible question and you need a 5-minute answer or a 7-minute answer to that, not a 27-minute answer, but a 5-minute answer to it, just to be able to come to that site and find an answer to 100 Bible questions. That's that technology, brethren, that's there that we've got to grab a hold of and understand and appreciate it. And then I know of at least one visitor to our services. There may be members of this service, this congregation, but a person who visits our service who's used Facebook. And so on Facebook, and this won't mean anything to some of you, but on Facebook, she'll put over in the notes section or somewhere there some information about the church and that type of thing. And there's a matter of linking up things that happen to this building. Folks, the opportunity is there. Let us get involved in it. And then the matter of contacting our missionaries and contacting our visitors in 1,000 other ways. Folks, it's here. Opportunity is there. Let's use it. Now then, in the closing minutes, I want to talk about the abuse of it. It is really being abused in our society. And because of the abuse that there is of it in our society, it has become, there's the grave danger of those who are children of God abusing that very same kind of technology. You see, a part of this has to do with the fact that whenever this technology is being used, that people are anonymous, at least in their own minds, in relationship to it. And what you do when people are not looking over your shoulder is really a matter of your character, what your heart is. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you are. And God could look down and just by looking at the text messages of individuals and the history of sites where they visit, God doesn't understand what's going on inside your heart. And you and I need to do some soul searching in relationship to this. You know how easy it is to gossip about individuals? Do you know how it is to use this kind of technology to just spread rumors about this and rumors about that? And we hear of something automatic, we pick up our cell phones or pick up our home phones or we start texting the individual, "Did you hear what happened to so-and-so?" And then spread some rumor about them. Destroy their reputation and their influence in the kingdom of God. Folks, we need to understand that you can gossip with your fingers, that you can destroy an individual. And by the way, gossiping is not just the matter of starting a rumor. Psalms 15, when it talks about those things Proverbs 6, those things that the Lord hates, or maybe it's Psalms 15, things that are reproach to God, those who take up a reproach. Doesn't start the reproach, doesn't start the rumor, they just spread it. And those are things God hates. And there's a tremendous amount of the tearing down of care, the reputation of other individuals and harming their lives just by the technology that is there. And who knows the great impact that pornography has had on our society. The secrecy of an individual's home, they can look at every sort of salacious kind of thing. And then it begins to dwell in their heart. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When we had one speaker here this year, he talked about the fact that there's a site where you can go to and register there. And he suggested that every husband ought to register that site and give their wife an access to where the sites they're visiting every month. Teens, if you're not doing anything wrong, then why don't you register this? So at the end of the month, a report could come to your parents about these are the sites, and they're rated by those who have Christian values that says this is a site a Christian ought not to go to. And the speaker who came and spoke to a group here talked about sending a copy of that to your best friend and to say to your best friend, "I want you to help me with where I'm visiting on the internet." And by the way, parents, you ought, if your children send you that site, you ought to send a copy of the sites that you visit back to them. And the speaker here said, "Why not send a copy to the elders and just say to the elders, look, here's where we are. This is my life, and I want you to help me police your life." And maybe the elders ought to send a copy to every member of the church. But you see, that technology is there, and we need to understand it. But whenever we talk about pornography, we need to talk about pornography that involves young people in Palm Beach County, where it's not a matter of sending a text message, but a photograph message. And so it's not texting, it's sexting. That is a part of our society, and it's detrimental, and it's destroying young people, and sometimes bringing about suicidal thoughts whenever they innocently said, well, I think I'll make a picture of some private part of my body and send it to my boyfriend or to my girlfriend. And all of a sudden, that romance is not there, and now it's out there for anybody and their brother to look at. Folks, that's detrimental. And you ought seriously to understand that God reads every text message you send. Because you see, this technology can choke out spirituality. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we got so involved in the internet, and so involved in texting, and so involved in all of this technology that is there, you can choke out spirituality. There is computer style adultery going on in marriages, where that wife or that husband who's in an unhappy relationship finds an individual, and they create a relationship with that. Oh, it's not an intimacy. It's not physical adultery, but it is mental adultery that is going on in the very texting and in the sharing of thoughts and words. And it's destroying America, and it perhaps is destroying Christian homes, even in this congregation. You and I need to understand that we choke out spirituality. Then I don't know why, whenever there is that matter of individuals texting to one another or putting things on Facebook or in some other place, there is that profanity and that vulgarity that is there. And words that may not have ever come out of the lips of individuals now come out of their fingers. And it's exactly the same heart and the same communication of the same kind of profanity and vulgarity. And then there is the blasphemy of God's holy name done by abbreviations. Folks, brethren in Christ, we need to stop the profanity that comes over our phones to other individuals, even though it may be abbreviated. God knows the abbreviation and how serious that problem is. And then there is that matter of what happens sometimes in worship. The kind of thing that happens in our worship, in this very place. I'm not angry at you. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to live right. I want you to do right. I want you to understand that there's a danger, even sometimes in our small children. Sometimes we use computer games to entertain our children and keep them from learning how to worship. Can't think of the Game Boy games. Is it Game Boy what I'm thinking about? And Mario and all the rest. You'll have to help me. Those little tiny games that are there. Wonderful. Great, great tool. But parents, you're missing a golden opportunity. If you're not letting your children see you worship God, and they're taught that this is a time to just play and it's a time of secularism, it's not. We're in the very presence of God. And even with our small children, we need to help them recognize the seriousness of what's happening in this place. And then what about all of the times that in our services? And I know what you're doing while I'm up preaching or while we're up singing. I know that in your Palm Pilot or in your iPhone that you've got the concordance, and that every time you're looking down in that you're looking at some verse in the Bible. I'm so glad that so many of you throughout our services are just using these things and finding such great verses that you will nudge the person right beside you and say, look at what's going, look at this great thought that I have just right here. You know why you're laughing, don't you? It's serious. Do you understand what I say to God? I'm not interested in what you're saying. I'm not interested in praising you. I'm not interested in thinking about the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. And every time that text messaging becomes a part of our life, it says to the God of heaven, I want you to know, God, there's something more important than you. More important than praising you, praying to you, letting you speak to me. But it's not just a teenage problem. It's all across this entire auditorium. And I am so thankful that so many of you are using this to find the Bible verses during the sermons. Folks, it's serious. Because of the message that it gets. Because you see, if in eating the Lord's Supper, I show disrespect for that, and I'm eating and drinking damnation to myself. If I eat the bread and drink the cup and immediately start texting a message to another, what have I done but shown disrespect for the most sacred thing on earth? And whenever we're praying, I'm saying to the God, you're really not there in my heart. You're in second place. And when in the sermon, if a sermon is where God speaks to us, we're saying to God, talk to my hand, talk to my phone, because I'm not interested in what you're having to say. And I'm just begging of you, brethren, let's work on this problem. Because you see, not only am I interrupting my worship, I'm interrupting the worship of the people around me. And 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, verse 12, 11 or 12, that when I put a stumbling block before a brother, I'm sinning against Christ. And what may be some innocent thing that in my imagination I'm thinking about or looking at, that person around me is going to look down to see what I'm doing, see what I'm texting. And I'm interrupting and keeping them from worshiping God, and I have become a stumbling block to their worship. Would to God that each of us would do all that we can not to interrupt the worship of another. And so there is that message that I receive or that message that I send to somebody else in this service that interrupts their worship of God. Folks, it's a serious matter. But the whole point of this lesson is to say the world has changed. And let's take this and embrace it every way that we can. That's why I said in the very beginning of this lesson, if I were an older person, I'd get involved in the technology that is there, even though I think that I'm too dumb and too stupid and never would be, and so I never ever would be able to learn it. I have seen a lot of dumb and stupid older people in this church learn how to use all of this stuff just because they wanted to. You're missing an opportunity. But that's not the point of the lesson. The point of the lesson is, let's take this and use it for God and bring glory and honor to Him. And for sure, let's not let it become detrimental to our spiritual life by choking out the spiritual, and especially detrimental of our ability to worship God. Let's pray together. Father, we long to be a church that lives conscious of the fact that Jesus sits beside us, that He sings with us, and that He communes with us. And may we, Father, as we sit in this service, in this building, every time we come together, be aware of the fact that Jesus is right beside us. Help us, God, to be able to do better and not show disrespect to that which is sacred. But God, we are so thankful, so tremendously thankful, that we're living in an age in which there's the opportunity to use technology for righteousness. And we pray that You would give us wisdom, that You would help these individuals who have that ability to see the use of technology, to take this that is there in the world that is neither good nor bad, but to make it the great tool of righteousness. And especially, Father, do we pray for those who are younger, have a better understanding of these things, that they will begin to meditate and try to figure out how to use this technology even better. God, forgive us for the mistakes we make. Help this church to truly be a church that belongs to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll tell you one thing that hasn't changed, and that's God's plan of salvation. It's always been this way since Christ ascended back into heaven, and that is, you're not going to go to heaven if you don't believe that He's the Son of God. John 3:16 so affirms that. And you can't go to heaven if you don't straighten up your life, repent of your sins. The Bible says God now commands all men everywhere to repent. That's every one of us. And the plan has not changed for us to confess our faith in Jesus and to be immersed in water in order that our sins might be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. And that hasn't changed, and it never will change, and we'll face these words on the day of judgment. You need to do it so He can add you to the body, to the church, to the family, to the kingdom. You'll be the bride of Christ. You'll be a worker in His vineyard. You have citizenship in heaven. You'll belong to Him. And then He says to the rest of us who've done that, now you be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. How can we help you? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you come?